We are Radio Catskill. From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Coming up, Patricio Rubio's got all the details on the Sullivan County School that'll be getting nearly $2 million from New York State to help girls heal from trauma. Before we get to that, we've got stories about Lake Wampanoag School and also Wayne Correctional. We're going to start things off talking about the Adult Care Center because Ruby Rayner's here from the River Reporter. Ruby, welcome back to the local edition.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Okay, so you have an update on the Adult Care Center, and maybe you could just remind us. It's been a little while since we talked about it, but it is something that we have talked a lot about in the past, right?
Yeah, so we keep hearing about it because keeps being things that happen that need to be heard about. And like you said, the county-owned care center at Sunset Lake in Liberty has been the subject of numerous claims of poor condition, and now that's been going on for years. And the latest is a lack of heating at the facility and kind of confusion and low staffing. The care center has gone from a 4-star rating, which is a rating system that Medicare.gov uses, to a 1-star rating where it sat for over a year. And now just recently, it's moved to a 2-star rating. And there are just consistent reports from patients and family members of patients at the facility alleging negligence and poor conditions. And recently, those kind of issues have been around heating at the facility as well as staffing.
Okay, so heat. So that's the most recent issues. The most recent claims involve heating issues. So who's making this claim? What is the issue?
Yes, so county resident and member of the Senior Legislative Action Committee, which is a group of folks who have really advocated for the Adult Care Center over these years and for the patients who are there, reported to the legislature last week that they the family council of the Adult Care Center, so family members of patients there, met in an unheated room in the facility. And, you know, we all, you know, if you go outside, it's cold. And, you know, she was saying, Lisa Kennedy, that this is evidence of neglect of the building, of the health and the comfort of these very fragile residents, their visitors, and that this is just a continuing issue. Another member of SLAC who had a family member for a very long time in the facility, Lisa Trin, also talked about like chronic issues with individual heating units in patients' rooms. And that these heating units, which are decades old, he had thought that they were going to be replaced and repaired, but was told recently that due to funding issues, there will be no total replacement and there's no plans for that. And the facility has suffered like recurring issues beyond just heating. In the summer, it was air conditioning. There's been issues with roofing, leaks in some of the rooms, and the elevators at the care facility have needed to be repaired multiple times throughout 2024 and caused issues. So it's not just, you know, right now, you know, this week it's been reports of heating out of there, but all of those have been, you know, told in front of the legislature by family members or by members of the Sullivan County Senior Legislative Action Committee who have visited the facility.
Okay, and so these are people bringing up these concerns right to the legislature. You report on the legislature. What's the legislature's reaction, and what are they doing?
In very short, not much is being done to address the issues. Members of the legislature did acknowledge the facility kind of issues and the repairs that needed to happen in discussions in mid-December before the county's 2025 budget passed. The chair of the legislature, Nadia Reich, said, like, I think we really need to be serious about addressing some of the facility issues in 2025. But the fact is that the Sullivan County's 2025 budget that was passed did not have any designated funding for capital improvements for the Adult Care Center. So there has been no funding allocated for 2025 in the budget to address any of these kind of ongoing issues. And the lack of kind of accountability for the poor conditions, like the inadequate heating as one of them, is kind of part of this process because the county has been trying to sell the facility to Infinite Care, who's currently operating it since 2020. So they created an LDC to sell it. And there has been previous and current members of the legislature that have cited the reason for wanting to sell it as the facility is a tax burden and to the taxpayers, and that, but they haven't been able to sell the facility because of multiple delays in the Department of Health approving this certificate of need, which is a legal document required to transfer the ownership. And that delay is largely in part because of the public, like the members of SLAC and others who have kind of reported on these ongoing poor conditions since Infinite Care has been operating the facility in front of the legislature. And the legislature is also kind of split over whether to keep or transfer it. And, you know, it's costly to invest and to fix in large, you know, kind of capital improvements like a heating system or an air conditioning system. And I think there's, you know, those multiple repairs that are needed are an investment. And people typically don't make long-term investments if they're hoping to sell something. So there was a letter that was sent by five members of the legislature that was urging the Department of Health to kind of approve this letter so that the sale could finally go through. And it hasn't yet happened, and it's still kind of in this limbo land.
Okay, and I want to get to this next question here, but just a real quick point on what you just said there. The people that are bringing these concerns, the people that are, you know, kind of watchdogs on this care facility, people that have family members or loved ones there that keep coming to the county to talk about this, how does that group feel about the ultimate sale?
So they are against the sale of the legislature as a whole. Sullivan, the Senior Legislative Action Committee, which many of them have had members or have members at the care center, are against the sale. They do not want Infinite Care to take the facility or continue to operate it. They want it to be county run and county owned. The facility used to, under like previous, before Infinite Care was operating it, had a 4-star rating on Medicare.gov. And I've spoken to employees of the care center who worked there under Infinite Care and prior to Infinite Care who said that there has been, you know, a decrease in the level of care that's being provided.
Right. And I just ask that because to my perception was, I'm not saying that it was a selling point of transferring the operation to this private entity, you know, saying like, okay, well, we know you don't want us to sell it, so we're just going to transfer it like this. But it was something that was mentioned, you know, saying like, you know, well, hey, don't worry, we're not selling it, we're just contracting out to get these other people to run it. So just interesting for me to hear you talking about, you know, the plan is now to sell it. I would think I'd be hearing more pushback on that. But, you know, people don't usually make, you know, pricing long-term investments into something that they're hoping to sell. But in the meantime, there's still folks that are living there.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of folks who are living there, actually. And some of them are, you know, really vulnerable people. They are older people who are there because they need help. And as of January, the facility reported having 130 residents, which legislator Kat Scott said was the highest the facility has seen since before COVID-19, the highest occupancy. So there's definitely people there, and there's people there who need care. And that high occupancy is also coupled with a high job vacancy at the adult care center. So the county reported there was 233 county job vacancies in January, and nearly half of them, 114, are openings at the care center. And that was according to the Sullivan County Commissioner of Management and Budget, Anna Novello. And so there was also questions that were raised last week at the legislature about whether the current director of nursing meets the county's minimum qualifications. The director of nursing is not a county employee. They're employed by Infinite Care. And so the fact is that it's a county-owned facility, but one of the employees who supervises, you know, a large amount of the nursing staff doesn't actually report to the county, nor is their paycheck signed by the county. So there's kind of that also aspect about staffing and this mix between infant care employed staff versus county employed staff that's also going on at the Adult Care Center.
Okay, well, thank you for that update. Before we go, I know you've got another story on the other side of the river in Northeast Pennsylvania, and the subject here isn't health, it's education, but you've got a story that, saying that the Wampanoag School District is doing better than other comparable schools in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, at least in terms of, you know, education. How is that, and what are you looking at that tells you that?
Yes. So during the 2023-24 school year, two categories, economically disadvantaged students and special education students at Wampanoag, had test scores that were above the 60th percentile compared to those other groups of other students in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, respectively. So Wampanoag's Hispanic students performed consistently higher than their peers with scores over the 65th percentile, which just means that they had scores that were higher than 65% of the statewide student body. And the test scores of white students at Wampanoag lagged a step behind. They did have scores that were consistently in the top half of students in the state. And speaking about kind of these results of the study, Director of Curriculum Clayton McCoe said that, you know, by all kind of, for all intents and purposes, from 2018 to 2024, all of these percentile values are trending up for the whole of the Wampanoag student body. So that's like very, you know, good. That's good news.
Yeah, you brought us some good news.
I did. And now I will confuse the good news.
Okay.
A little bit. Because like so many things, when you look at them a little bit closer, there's some more nuance. So the statistics and how they're calculated using demographic data, and the way that data has, you know, been collected has changed over the years. So it's not as straightforward. I'll give an example. So the category, right, which they had cited of economically disadvantaged students doing better, that calculation of who counts as economically disadvantaged, how they calculated that at Wampanoag changed over the years. So in 2013, the way that they would count or determine if a student was considered economically disadvantaged was like a filling out of state paperwork that qualified a student for free or reduced lunch. But in 2024, all students receive reduced lunch. So that means there's less urgency for students to maybe fill out the paperwork or to categorize themselves as an economically disadvantaged student. So it'll be interesting to see how the statistics, the educational outcome statistics, differ in the coming years, and if they are affected by the way the statistics themselves are calculated.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing us the nuance. Finally, before we go, real quick, let's stay in the Wayne Pike County area. In Wayne County, you've identified a new program at Wayne County Correctional. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there will be a new program that's going to be instituted at the correctional facility in Wayne that hopes to help inmates stay out of jail once released by providing them with education and by changing the culture largely around incarceration. So the main goal of it is to prevent recidivism, so the likelihood that a released inmate would commit another crime and then be returned to jail. And the main kind of things and programs that are going to be instituted into the jail have to do with participants being able to take English, math, and work to receive their GED. There's also going to be options for vocational training and also life skills workshops, which include kind of like emotional regulation and anger management courses and things of that nature. So that's called the IGNITE program, which stands for Innate Growth Naturally and Intentionally Through Education. And it's modeled after one program that began in Flint, Michigan in September 2020 that was developed then by the National Sheriff's Association as like a more national initiative. And Wayne County will be the second in Pennsylvania to sign on to institute this program.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing us these updates today. All the stories that we've been talking about, listener, are up now at riverreporter.com. And we've been talking to the River Reporter's own reporter, Ruby Rayner, as we often do on Wednesday evenings. Ruby, thanks again for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, how Evergreen Meadow Academy in Sullivan County was able to get nearly $2 million from New York State. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
To me, it seems like President Trump is cramming, basically, 4 years of policy into one day.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. An episode about the devastating and unprecedented fires in the Los Angeles area, the largest Latino city in the United States. So much lost, so much fear, and also so much rebuilding ahead. That's this week on Latino USA.
Thursday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. Well, New York Governor Kathy Hochul recently announced a $1.9 million grant to Evergreen Meadow Academy in Sullivan County to establish a residential treatment center and a specialized middle school for girls at risk of self-harm due to trauma that they've experienced. The new facility in Rock Hill will provide therapeutic care, education, and support for girls in grades 6 through 8 from across New York State. Radio Catskill's Patricio Rubio spoke with Stacy Millman, founder and president of Evergreen Meadow Services, about this grant and the next steps that they have in bringing this project to life.
I was so overwhelmed with gratitude and joy and hope. We've been working on this for a while. We knew that the governor was committed to supporting the emotional well-being of adolescents. And has already done so much in our state to advance school-based clinics, to make sure there are more psychiatric beds. And we've been talking with them for a long time about a specialized treatment center in school for those girls who really needed it in that moment. And so when I got the call, I was over the moon. And we are just so very, very grateful to her for this, truly.
That's great. And the grant is for $1.9
million. $1.9
million,
which is what we said we needed. I mean, the fact that she said, we're just going to make you whole on this so that you can move forward with the project, just really was a testament to her commitment to the emotional and mental well-being of girls in our state.
So let's go talk a little bit more about that. How will the grant money help build the school and the treatment center that's going to be built in Rock Hill?
It's going to be built right here in Sullivan County in Rock Hill on land donated by the Center for Discovery. It's beautiful. We did a walkthrough recently with the architects and the project management team and the civil engineer and Patrick Dollard, the former CEO of the Center for Discovery, to actually start actualizing what we're going to be doing and what the $1.9 million will be used for. That $1.9 million is going to bring our vision to reality. It's going to allow us to complete all of our pre-construction planning phase. It will pay for the talented architects, the designs, the project management team, the civil engineers, the construction management team to level and get the ground ready to prepare our space. And it's just, it was really, I think, the moment that we actually walked through the land. You know, we've never been back far in the space, and we actually walked the whole space and where we were going to build the school and the residence. It really, it's just so beautiful. It will lend itself to healing and learning in a very calm and natural environment. So that's what it'll do.
Yeah. So, well, and let me just remind folks, so what kind of care and education will the girls receive at this academy?
So the kind of care and education that girls will receive at the academy is that simultaneously, while they're getting their education from New York State accredited teachers who are also part of the treatment team and who care about teaching this population of girls. They will also have a clinical team who will be working with them on a daily basis with them and their families, individually and in groups, for them to address and deal with their emotional trauma and start developing resilience and continue their education so that that doesn't become interrupted. We don't want to exacerbate the problem. We want girls to just be able to learn in an environment where they can take a deep breath, pause, focus on who they are and who they want to be, and continue to learn.
All right, right. Now, you know, this you mentioned a little bit about the natural setting that's going to be. Akil is a very small little community there. So let's talk about a little bit more how the sort of the natural setting of Rock Hill and being up here in the Catskills will help the girls heal and learn.
Well, you know, there is such a thing as nature-based therapy that they specifically use for people who have trauma. I think anyone who has spent time in nature or going on a walk understands the benefits of that as a natural healing environment. It slows you down. It keeps you in the present, which is a mindfulness technique, by the way. It regulates your emotions. It lowers your stress and anxiety. There's research behind it, and it creates positive feelings. So just by taking the girls and putting them in a beautiful natural environment is half the battle toward learning how to start managing their emotion, right? And so that will lend itself right away to being in the beautiful space. And anybody who's been to the Catskills knows that, you know, it's a fresh air fund type environment, right? And so that's an important piece of it. But we're also going to have, you know, animals and livestock and growing our own food. So they'll be working and healing and playing in nature. And therapy will be, not only will they be living in a beautiful natural environment, but it will be incorporated into the therapy that they receive. We're going to create, for those of you who know the Center for Discovery, we're going to be creating on a mini scale. We're going to be using a lot of the best practices that they've learned to incorporate it with our girls.
This program not only opened up to, not only for the residents of the county, this is residents, the girls who have experienced trauma throughout the state.
Throughout New York State, the school will be available to them. Absolutely. Girls in grades 6 through 8. And they won't have to pay anything because New York State pays the tuition and the residency. So as we've talked about in the past, this really is about leveling the playing field. So regardless of family income, you have the opportunity for a state-of-the-art therapeutics treatment for your daughter.
Right. So what are some of the next steps? You know, this grant is going to be used to help build the school and the treatment center. So what are some of the next steps now that you are sort of working on?
So while we are in the planning stages and bringing our vision to reality, we're working with Senator Schumer's office and the USDA administration to finance the construction portion of the school through the rural loan grant assistance program, which is what the Center Discovery used for their children's hospital. The town of Tompkins has used it for various projects as well. We've been talking to them for over a year, and that's the next step that'll happen. In the meantime, we're continuing our programs. We're servicing girls in Sullivan County and the community who do not need a residential center or school, but can benefit right now from prevention and intervention services.
Let's talk about that. How you're working now with the local schools and that's only going to grow with the center. But you want to talk a little bit about how you are working now with the girls in schools?
Sure. We have, you know, Adrienne, who you've had on the program before, is our executive director, and she and her clinical team provide empowerment programs to girls who are at risk. And we're working specifically right now in the Liberty Middle School. We've been working with them for 2 years. We've got 40 girls in the program right now. We're following the girls all the way through middle school. I think you might have remembered hearing at our event in September one of them had said that being in the program felt like a weight was lifted off of her shoulders. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I find that to be the most touching thing, which is, how do you get to the girls before they're in such a state of crisis that they end up in a hospital or they'll end up in a school like what we're building, which you have to have, but you want to really do the prevention beforehand. So that's what we're doing. And I will tell you that our local schools have been very welcoming of our program, and they have a very long wish list for us. They'd like to see a day program as well. So that's something way on the horizon. But, you know, it really is, Patricia, as we talked about, a whole continuum of care, right? So the governor's already invested in school-based clinics. You want to make sure you have individual therapy for girls, which we also provide, and we do group work. And then you all the way up to having a residential school and program for those girls who need a specialized structured environment.
Right. And except I've talked to a couple of schools that are doing other things with mental health. I know I spoke to, I think, Fallsburg recently, connection now with Aster Services, which is another service here.
We love them.
And it looks like they're building a clinic within the school, within the high school.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just about to say it, but and that is part of Governor Hochul's continual investment into the continuum of care. She has invested in school-based clinics, and that is exactly what has been brought to Sullivan County, which we need so desperately.
And it seems to me, it seems to me that since the pandemic is sort of witnessed an uphill sort of trajectory on sort of making things that are like Aster Services, like the Evergreen Academy. Mm-hmm. Like the state is putting more investment into mental health services, I guess, because the need is there. Seeing that there is a need there.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that the governor is recognizing that that families like myself and others have recognized is that this is a crisis and that we're not alone. And that there are so many families facing situations in which they don't know where to turn and they're hopeless. But now they're going to have hope because we are building an infrastructure here in Sullivan County and throughout the state where parents won't be on their own. And, you know, young children, young girls can get the help that they need in order to hit life, you know, rocking.
Right.
It's the wrong way to say it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, do we rock it in Rock Hill, I guess? I don't know.
They're going to rock in Rock Hill.
Stacy, before we go, is anything else we have not touched on that you want folks to know about Evergreen Meadow Academy? Maybe if they're listening to this, maybe knowing somebody that may need help a young person listening to this saying that I may need this help. Is there a way to get in touch?
Thank you for that question. I do want to say that anybody who wants information from us should go to our website. That's the easiest place to get our phone number, to email us and to learn more about our services. It's evergreenmeadowacademy.org, evergreenmeadow.org to access our services. And the one thing that I do want to really say as a takeaway is that, you know, not every girl who has experienced trauma or suffers from anxiety or depression or other mental health challenges will try and hurt themselves, but a growing number are. And so, you know, if you're feeling lost as a parent or alienated from your child or worried about your child, don't wait. Don't wait until it hits a crisis situation. Do reach out to us. And we're, you know, not only do we support children and young girls, but we support parents as well. So even if your child refuses to participate in a program or get therapy, reach out to us so that we can connect you with services and with other parents. So that's what I'd like to say. And again, I just have to say thank you, WJFF, for being a great partner to us. You've been really supportive and we appreciate it. And a big thank you to Governor Hochul and her team who is helping us bring our vision to reality. So we're excited to be here in Sullivan County and we're excited to serve the girls in New York State.
We'll talk to Stacy Millman, president of Evergreen Meadow Academy, on the new grant that was received, $1.9 million to help build this academy in Rock Hill, New York. Stacy, thank you so much for talking to me. I do really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again very, very soon. Keep us updated on the progress. on the thing. And I'm sure once it's the grand opening there, we hope
you're coming.
Yeah, of course. For the place and see all the great stuff that the Evergreen Metal Academy is going to do.
And that's great. Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it. Good to see you again.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Robayo for Radio Catskill.